So I'm going to pray and then we're going to get into it. Are you ready? Yeah. Father, we pray you would come and speak to us through your beautiful word. Right now, we tune into your voice. We set aside the distractions of the week. We pray, Holy Spirit, you would come and build a stronghold of truth in our spirits. Right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Many people, when they're in their 20s, do their OE, their overseas experience. And they do it when they're young, and they go traveling all around the world to try and find themselves. And you know, if you're a parent, you might have someone come up to you and say, oh yeah, where's your Billy at now? Oh, Billy's overseas. He's finding himself. Who did an OE in their 20s? Who found themselves? Some of us are still looking. But It's a true thing that every person on the face of the earth wants to know who they are. Kids have been, people have been adopted. You know, there's a whole TV show about it. Is it David Lomas or something trying to find help people find out who they are? We all want to know who we are and where we're from. This is a natural, normal thing. So my title today is, who are you? Who are you? Why don't you ask the person next to you, who are you? Who are you? Do you know it's only when we meet Jesus, our maker, our creator, that we come to know, really know who we are. And Satan in this day and age is trying to stop believers finding their true identity in the Lord. Many Christians are confused about who they really are, and they have yet to fully grasp their true identity as a child of God. And when we don't know who we are, we can find ourselves trying to find out who we are from other people around us. We can even seek out prophetic words. When a guest speaker comes, we can sit in the front row wearing a high-vis top, far too much aftershave, yelling amen and making a lot of eye contact deliberately in hope that we might get a prophetic word that explains who we really are. Dave, your top would work well in that scenario. But it's only... we only need to look in the book, and then we see that God has written our identity right here. This is our photo ID right here. The Bible states our true identity. We're going to look at about six scriptures today. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. We are not who we used to be. We have been made new. We have been born again. You know, Jesus was, he had this, a before and after experience. We have too. Jesus could have seen himself as a victim. Well, the poor guy, he was tortured. He was murdered. He was killed without a trial, a just trial. And he could have thought, man, I was tortured and murdered, an innocent guy. I'm a victim. But no, he didn't stay there. He rose again. We just sang about it. And he did not see himself as a victim. He said, I used to be someone who was murdered and tortured, but now I am victorious, I am powerful, I am resurrected, I am alive forevermore. We have a before and after story like he did. What about some guys in the Bible? Murderers, Moses, David, Paul, Saul. They all could have seen themselves, hey, I'm a murderer. I'm a mongrel sinner. You were a murderer. You were a mongrel sinner. But now you have a new identity in the Lord. You have been born again. We are not who we used to be. We have been made new. We have been born again. 165 times in the New Testament, it says we are in him. So we need to know what God says about us so we know who we now are. Because we are not who we used to be. I used to be a boozy, lost, party girl teenager. I am not that anymore. By his grace, now I am a child of God. We are not who we used to be. Who's read C.S. Lewis's Narnia series? My fave, apart from, of course, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, is The Horse and His Boy. I've read it several times as a child, and then when I got saved again. When you get saved and you read them as an adult, you see all these layers. C.S. Lewis was a genius theologian. And it's my second favorite book in that series. And we have Shasta, who was kidnapped by the enemy as a baby, and he doesn't know that. And then he finds out, I have actually grown up in the wrong country. I actually thought I was Shasta, but now I'm finding out who I actually am. So through a series of events, he finds out that he's actually royalty. And he was stolen as a baby from his true land of Narnia. And when he meets Aslan, who of course is the lion, a picture of Jesus, then he finds out that he is actually truly a prince. There's a throne there for him. He is destined to rule and reign. And we see this. Jesus tells us in Revelation 1 verse 6 that he has made us kings and priests. This means we have spiritual authority. We have rulership, dominion, wealth, power. We have got to grasp this. We've got to believe it and receive it and not forget it and walk in it. The problem for us can be that Satan is the accuser of the brothers, the Bible says, and the sisters of all Christians. He constantly condemns and accuses us. But here's the real problem. So often we partner with him in agreement. We do the devil's work for him. We condemn ourselves. Now, self-talk is the dialogue. We all know about self-talk. It happens in our heads. It's happening continually in our brain. It happens at a rapid rate, faster than we can physically talk. And we are seemingly largely unaware of our self-talk unless we stop and analyze it, which is a good thing. Psychologists tell us most of our self-talk is negative, and we don't even realize that for many of our waking hours, we are pulling ourselves down on a subconscious level in our minds. We speak to ourselves far more harshly than we would ever speak to anyone else. Oh, you dropped your phone, you loser. Oh, you've done it again. Come on, can't you do anything right? You got lost again. You dropkick Google Maps. Hello? Don't say that. Oh, you big mouth, shut up. This is how we talk to ourselves. Sometimes we even say these things out loud to ourselves. It's like we're prophesying them over our life. Oh, I'm just no good with money. I suck at business. I'm not a very good mother. I know I'm a bad husband. I'm a useless friend. This condemning tone is commonplace. We seldom encourage ourselves or speak kindly to ourselves. And so instead of thinking and speaking blessing over ourselves, we are actually thinking and speaking cursing over ourselves all day long. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Stick your tongue out. Show the person next to you. Death and life right there. And the power of the tongue. We have to change our confession from an old negative view to a new biblical view. Why? Because our confession affects our identity. That's worth writing down. Our confession affects our identity because we actually become what we think. We actually end up becoming what we say about ourselves, whether it's aloud or in our heads. Here's another scripture, Proverbs 23, verse 7a. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he, the New King James says. The Passion Translation, for as he thinks within himself, so is he. Of course, we could say, as she thinks within herself, so is she. There is a biblical truth here. As we think, we become that thing. Ralph Waldo Emerson, that great North American author, he said, a man is what he thinks about all day long. C.S. Lewis said, all mortals tend to turn into the thing they are pretending to be. And Dale Carnegie said, our thoughts make us what we are. The truth is, our lives conform to what we think about ourselves. We will rise or fall to the level of what we believe about ourselves. If I think I'm a failure as a preacher, then that is what I will live out. That is what I will become. If you think you're a bad father, then that is what you will become. We have to change our belief about ourselves. I think this is vital to our whole Christian walk. We're going to pray for some people at the end because the Lord's wanting to bring a mindset shift, a spirit shift about our identity today so we know who we are. We have to change what we think and say about ourselves, and so that getting it so it aligns with what God says. What God says. Because your heart will believe what your mouth says about you. So I deliberately say to myself, I'm a good preacher. I know I can hear from God. I've got the word of the Lord this morning. The people are going to love it. Lives are going to be changed by this message. But if I thought to myself, I'm not a good preacher, I suck. I can't hear from God. I haven't even been to Bible college. I'm from a farm. I don't think this is the word of the Lord. I'm not sure. No one's going to want to hear this sermon. They'll probably rather listen to Stephen Furtick when they get home online. If I thought that, then I would not last a week in this role. We have to train our hearts and our minds to think the same thing about ourselves as God says. There are too many Christians walking around thinking about themselves in small, negative terms. And then they wonder why their lives are small and negative. God is large. He is expansive. He is powerful. He is full of light. And God wants us to live lives that are large and full of light also. So don't believe what others say. Don't believe what your negative self-talk says. Don't even believe what some of your friends say. Believe what the Lord says. We've got to get into agreement with what God says about us. This is who we are. We need to get our identity from Him. He redeemed our identity at the cross. We had a before and after experience. We are not what we were. Jesus Christ has restored us to our pre-fallen state. He has restored us to full harmony with God. And He has called us to increase and multiply and have dominion on the earth. This is who we are. But the devil's always trying to get us to second guess that, to doubt who we are. Even back in the garden, it started. Adam and Eve, listen to that snake, the serpent, Satan, and they were sucked in. And they hid from God, and He couldn't find them. And He said, where are you? And they went, oh, we're naked. And then God said in Genesis 3:11a, He said, who told you that you were naked? So often today, we have believed things, and we don't even really know we believe them, but we live them out. And the Lord is saying that again to us today. Who told you that you were naked? Who told you you were dumb? Who told you were hopeless? Who told you were useless? Some of us, it may have been someone in authority, a parent, a teacher, a grandparent. But God is wanting to bring a shift and move this lie that's in our heads. Freedom prayers help us shift lies that we've believed that have been in our heads. We've got to get God's truth into us. This is why we need to be in this every day, listening to it, reading it. So it goes in our ears, so it goes in our eyes. So often these lies have been there so long, we can't ever recall a time when we did not believe them, because we've believed them since we were knee-high to a grasshopper. Since Noah was a boy, we believed these lies. We need a revelation from the Holy Spirit. And Jesus showed us how to get a revelation. He heard from the Father. I'm going to read you about 13 verses about a battle Jesus had in this whole area of identity. And he shows us how to win it. Luke 4, verse 1 to 13, I'm going to read it in the NIV. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. That's interesting right there. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into a dry place of testing. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority. Remember, I'm not actually demon possessed. This is my pretend devil voice. And splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours. But Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in your hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. We see here, Satan can quote scripture. Jesus answered, it says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Three times the devil said, I think it was at least twice in the three temptations, if you are, who do you think you are, Jesus? Are you really this? If you are, then prove it. Prove it to me. Prove it to everybody. And remember in the chapter before this, in Luke 3, it was Jesus' water baptism. He was baptized in water and the Holy Spirit in the same moment. And the Father spoke from heaven. There was an audible voice. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This is why we need to get baptized in water and in the Holy Spirit, because we see who we are. We hear who we are. It's only one chapter later, the enemy's attacking that identity that Jesus just heard from the Father. If you are, this little hint, this little whisper of a doubt about Jesus' self-image. He attacked Jesus' self-image, his identity. He tried to cast doubt in Jesus' mind about who he was called to be. And Satan attacks you and me in the very same way also. Who do you think you are? Oh, you're supposed to be a connect group leader, but look at you. Look at that. Look at this. Jesus shows us how to respond when Satan attacks our identity. Three times Jesus answered from the word, it is written. It is written. It is written. Jesus got his identity and self-image from God. He believed and quoted aloud what God said about him. Not what the crowd said about him. They said he was just a prophet. Not what his hometown said about him. They said he was just a carpenter. Not what the Pharisees said about him. They said he was illegitimate and a son of Beelzebub, the devil. Jesus believed what the Father said about him, and we need to believe this too. If you believe it, say yes. Say amen. 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 And if your true identity has been stolen by Satan, you can get it back by believing what God says about you in his word. Jesus did not do miracles or use his divine powers just to defeat the enemy in this instant. He used the same weapons about defeating this doubt cast on his identity, the same weapons that we can use today. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit. He had been showed when the Holy Spirit came down on him like a dove at his baptism. Then he heard who he was. That was the Father's voice too. We have the same spiritual resources today that Jesus had. So next time the devil tells you, you are useless, you are hopeless, you are poor, you're dumb, you're just a victim, take your stand upon the word like Jesus said and say, it is written, this is who I am. Maybe I used to be a boozer, that was me. Maybe I used to be useless and hopeless and lost, but now I am born again. Like Jesus, he had a before and after. He used to be tortured and murdered, but now he is powerful, victorious, risen. Resurrected and alive. We have a before and after. We must never also interpret our identity and who we are by the circumstances we're going through. We all go through hard times, but that does not make us a loser. We may go through a failure situation, but that does not make us a failure. We are not a write-off. We cannot ever interpret ourselves through our current circumstances. Pastor Phil Pringle wrote a great book called Born Identity, and it's about our born-again identity. I have it if you want to borrow it. It probably is in the church library also, which you can avail yourselves of up those stairs out there during office hours during the week. Heaps of great books. Pastor Phil said, often theology has been twisted to conform to the defeated negative thinking of people who are interpreting life and God through their circumstances. When we submit to Scripture, rather than submitting the scripture to us, our identity in Christ comes alive. So we don't ever bring the Word of God down to our circumstances. We bring ourselves up to the level of the Word of God. If God says it, that's enough. If my Father says it, that settles it. He is the final authority. Here's our last scripture, I believe. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you are hearing the voice of condemnation in your head, let me tell you right now, it is not from the Lord. You dialed the wrong number, baby. You got the other guy. God convicts. Satan condemns. There's a big difference. Conviction is when you feel the Holy Spirit nudging you, when you're doing something you shouldn't, or you're not doing something you should. You know he wants you to do it. It's like this little prod. Hey, 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 hey. Ooh. It's almost like indigestion. That feeling. But condemnation involves shame and guilt. There is no condemnation for us. Now we are saved. So we need to take authority over condemning thoughts and put the encouraging truth of the Word of God into our minds instead, because this is what will build us up. It is never pride to see yourself how God sees you. It is never pride to see yourself how God sees you, because how God sees you is the true and real you. So many people in this false humility are trying to put themselves down all the time. Hands up if you're a parent. How do you feel if your kid puts themselves down all the time? That's horrible. You don't like seeing your kid put themselves down. You're like, hey, don't do that. Don't say that about yourself. That's not who you are. This is what the Lord wants us to see, who we really are, who he is making us into. Sure, none of us have arrived. Sure, we're not perfect yet, but we're on our way. We were sinners, but he has made us saints. We were sick, but he has made us healthy. We were poor, but he has given us his abundance. We were in lack, but now he has made us prosperous. We were sad, but now he has given us joy. We were degenerate mongrels, but now we have been born again. Hallelujah. The old has gone, the new has come. We are new creations. Tell the person next to you, that is who you are. Tell the one on the other side, they're feeling left out, that is who you are. God says that we are saints. We were sinners, now we're saints. We are healthy, we're prosperous. We have abundance, we are joyful, we are full of hope. We are not what we once were. So stop calling yourself what you once were. Maybe you were a bad father, but now by God's grace, you're a good dad. So you need to say that to yourself. I am a good father. Do not come into agreement with the devil. Agree with God and agree with who he is making you into. Don't say what your feelings say. Don't say what your friends say. Don't say what your past says. Say what God says. Because it's what God says about us that counts. He alone is judge, nobody else. Man, I've noticed in the last few years that my self-talk has changed. You know, I wasn't really trying to change it. I wasn't really even aware of it. But I used to, you know, say to myself, come on, hurry up. Get yourself organized. What are you doing? Stop fluffing around like an old grandma. I'm going to be a grandma soon. No, I haven't been until this point. And I'd tell, oh, you're like an old woman. Hurry up. Get organized. What are you doing that for? And just hard on myself. But lately, the last few years, I've been hearing myself saying things like, come on, Eleanor, you can do it. Go, girl. Come on. Yeah, go, baby. And it's like this. And I was like, oh, that sounds different. It's different to this negative, condemning tone I was used to. It was kinder, gentler, nicer, more encouraging, more positive. I realized the Holy Spirit had been doing a work in me and I was unaware. He had been working on my subconscious dialogue, my self-talk. He had been redeeming it and restoring it. You know, when we pray in tongues, when we pray in the Holy Ghost, it builds us up. It edifies us. It helps us become strong. Do you know, if we think we're nothing, we will talk to ourselves like we're nothing. But when we know God thinks we're something and someone, we start to begin to believe it. Then we start to think, I'm a child of God. And we start treating ourselves with more respect of the banker, draw me, please. And then our true identity is restored by God. You know, Jesus showed us how to speak out our true God-given identity. He would speak out who he was. He would remind himself of his identity. Do you know, in the Gospel of John, Jesus made 7 I am statements. He said them out loud. He was reminding himself who he is. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. Jesus was continually telling himself who he was in God. If Jesus needed to do this, how much more do you and I? You know, we ought to be saying to ourselves in the morning, look in the mirror and say, hey, I'm a man of God. I'm a woman of God. But so often we get up in the morning and we get up and our hair's sticking out and we just stumble to the bathroom and then we, you know, catch a glimpse of ourselves in the mirror and it's like, oh. And right there, right at that moment, we start insulting ourselves. Oh, no. Oh, it's a shocker. It's a shocker. Oh, you look old. Oh, you look fat. Oh, look at those wrinkles. Oh, your breath stinks because it hits a mirror and bounces back at you. And we start cursing ourselves. We don't even need the devil. He can go to Queensland for 2 weeks because we're doing his job better than he does. We are doing the devil's work for him. We are taking on the role of accuser. I'm here today to tell you to stop it in Jesus' name. You've got to encourage yourself. You've got to get up in the morning and look in the mirror and say, I'm a woman of God. I'm a man of God. I am blessed by the Lord. I am walking in God's divine health. And God is going to use my life today. The Lord has good plans for me. I have a future and a hope. And it's all going to work together for good today. Man, your future's so bright, you ought to be wearing shades right now. What does God's word say about us? We've got to tell ourselves. Hey, you're made in God's image. Genesis 1:26, he said, let us make man in our image. You know, you can tell somebody, hey, I look like God. I look like my Father. I look like God. He says, you are the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21, we have become the righteousness of God. That means everything that's right about God, he has transferred to us. And we wear his righteousness, we put it on like a coat. He said, you are a conqueror, Romans 3:37. We are more than conquerors. He said, you are prosperous. Proverbs 28:25, trusting the Lord leads to prosperity. He says, you can do everything you need to do. I'll give you the strength. Philippians 4:13, I can do all this through Christ who gives me strength. He gives me strength to do everything I need to do well. I can do marriage well. I can do parenting well. You say this to yourself. I can do friendship well. I can do my work well. Lastly, you are a loved child of God. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father has given to us while we were still sinners. He died for us. Practical idea tonight, today, get some verses from here that speak of who you are. Write them out. Write them down by hand or type them and print them and then say them out loud over yourself daily. This works. I have done this with finance. I've done this with Joshua chapter 1, with leadership. It works. You start to believe it. We've got to know you are not a nobody. You are God's kid. Your dad is the king. That makes you royalty. So you've got to carry yourself like you are royal. Royalty are not broke. They are prosperous. They have all the resources of the kingdom of God to draw on. Royalty don't walk around with their heads hung down with no vision for the future. Feeling hopeless, thinking, I suck, I'll never achieve anything, I'll never amount to anything. No, that's not who you are. I want to tell you today who you are. You are redeemed and loved by Jesus. You are a child of the living God and you are called to rule and reign. This is your true identity. Why don't we stand this morning? You know, I think of this, probably the greatest American president they ever had, Abraham Lincoln. That guy could have seen himself as a failure. He lived in the, born in the early 1900s. He grew up poor. His mother died when he was 9. So his older sister brought him up, but then she died in childbirth and her baby too when she was 19. And he had a lot of sadness. They were very poor. He had less than 1 year at school. He failed in business in 1831. Next year, he was defeated in politics for the legislature. He failed in business again the year after that. A year after that, he was elected to the legislature. But then the year after that, his fiancée died. And then in 1838, he was defeated for speaker. And then 2 years later, defeated for the elector. Then 2 years after that, he married, but his wife was a burden. And then only one of his four sons lived past the age of 18. He was defeated for Congress in 1843. 3 years later, elected to Congress. 2 years after that, defeated for Congress. And in 1855, defeated for Senate. The year after that, defeated for Vice President. 2 years later, defeated for the Senate. 2 years after that, elected President! Finally, he became one of the greatest presidents in the USA's history ever, abolishing slavery. He was actually only president for 4 years, then he was assassinated. Abraham Lincoln loved the Lord. He experienced much failure and pain. He could have stayed there and seen himself as a victim, but he did not let his circumstances speak to who he was. He did not let failure define who he was. He allowed himself to be defined by God. He believed only the Lord will define who I am and what I do. And even though he was only president for 4 short years, he made life-changing decisions, and we're still living in the benefits of those today. Today, God wants to give you back what the devil has stolen from you. The Lord wants to show you afresh who you are. Not a victim, not a failure, but a child of God. Father, right now, I pray that you would do a miracle work of restoring identity to people. In the name of Jesus, show us who you are. Show us who we are in you. Give us a revelation, Holy Spirit. We bind the lies of the devil in the name of Jesus. And if you have struggled in this area and you feel like the Lord wants to show you afresh who you are, come now. We want to lay hands on you. We want to stand with you. And I believe the Lord is going to do some shifting as we worship. Let's start to sing right now. Thank you, Father.